You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The beautiful payoffs of last night. Game-winning touchdowns that weren't. Interceptions, fumbles, and even this play where there was an interception, but the guy intercepting it, Marlon Humphrey, didn't even know he intercepted it. Nobody said anything. Also, the hilarity of that Guerrero home run. Let's go. I think the third baseman could have caught that if he jumped. I mean, that was like 9.5 feet off the ground.
Frozen rope.
Just glorious mayhem last night. They shook hands on the field. The game was over after Bryan Edwards' overtime touchdown, but then it wasn't. Everybody got back out on the field, and then Vegas' interception. And then when Baltimore got the ball back, Carl Nassib forcing Lamar Jackson's fumble. And then finally, the Zay Jones walk-off touchdown. Bomani Jones, around the horn to you. What just happened? What did you learn from this glorious chaos?
Well, I think the first thing that we learned is that the way the Baltimore Ravens are going to try to win games this year is 1 versus 11. I'm not exactly sure what else they're supposed to do with the offense that they have, but the weight on Lamar Jackson seems to be as heavy as it has ever been. They got that big run early from Williams on the 34-yard run or somewhere around there. But then after that, it was just like, yo, you go out and win this like it's a high school game. And it looked like he had. It looked like they were going to win the game. But one thing I wonder about Baltimore is last year, they were basically, we're going to bring 8 every single time. We're just going to crowd everybody into the box and then go from there. I don't know how long you can keep doing that before the league figures out things to do. And it seemed to work in the first half. In the second half, Derek Carr actually looked like an NFL quarterback. And we saw that lead dwindle, and then go away.
Sarah Spain, glorious chaos is what I called it. What do you call it?
I don't know if I'd say Carr actually looks like an NFL quarterback. He's the guy who had over 4,000 yards last year. Statistically, he has been good. And even so, we seem to doubt him, myself included last night. Every time there was an error or an opportunity for a pick that the other team didn't get, oh, man, he's lucky. He's just winging the ball around. He's not taking care of things. This team is just about to give it away at every turn. And they didn't. They kept coming back. The offense kept driving down the field. Carr kept making plays. The Ravens weren't as amazing as I thought they'd be. And yeah, to Bo's point, I think a lot of that is Lamar putting too much on his shoulders. But in addition to all the football craziness, you mentioned them shaking hands as if the game was over. You also had a ref loudly saying over and over, the game is not over. And no one was listening to him. But that stadium, having fans for the first time, what a game to have them. The highs and lows, the agony and ecstasy, all of it was incredible and perfect for the very first Vegas game with a full crowd that we wondered whether they would be too busy with bottle service and DJs, and instead they were ravenous the entire time.
Speaking of incredible and perfect and very much a Vegas look, Tim Kalishaw, I mean this is the early bird special.
Let me just paint a picture for what happened last night in Vegas. First of all, the Ravens thought they had it won when it was 14-0. Harbaugh had never lost a game when his team was leading 14-0. Then they thought they had it won late before the overtime. Let's not forget that quick drive and then a 55, 56-yard field goal from Carlson they needed to tie to get it to overtime. But as others have mentioned, the Ravens have big problems. Everybody's worried about the running backs they lost. I'm more worried about the tackles they still have. They couldn't block the Raiders. That did have Lamar Jackson running way more than he wants to, and that's something they're not going to solve easily.
Right. So if everybody is leaning, talking Baltimore, Clinton, I'll bring you in here with a question, all right? Lamar Jackson was pressured 54% of the time per Next Gen Stats last night. He had 2 turnovers. Is that a byproduct of the running back woes they had, the scheming, or is there too much on his plate?
I think the offensive line that Tim mentioned is a big factor here. Villanueva looked terrible, as did Stanley. I mean, you've got guys that are getting free runs at Lamar. He can do everything he can do from a footwork standpoint. You saw what he did in the red zone. But you can't expect him to carry the offense when, again, the weapons aren't weaponing, something that's happening a little too frequently with this Baltimore Ravens team. Overall, though, I mean, the Raiders, wacky yet effective, a tactic I like a lot. I thought it was very interesting what happened at the end of that game where Gruden just started running guys in and out, and then he finally went for it, and they won. He seemed to do what he was doing, even though it looked completely ridiculous. I thought this was a good game for the Raiders. Their defensive line made a statement, and it made the difference at the end of the game. You saw it when Lamar Jackson was sitting face down on the turf, wondering what happened after the ball got blown up out of his hand.
Incredible play from Carl Nassib. But Monty Jones back in.
Now, Sarah, you said Lamar put too much weight on himself. I don't think he asked for those guys to not be good at football. This didn't seem to be like something he voted for. The other thing, Tony, you mentioned about the fumbles. That's been a thing with him his whole career, in part because he carries the ball so much. But he is loose with it. He's not like Daniel Jones or Josh Allen in terms of giving up the ball, but he will put it on the ground.
Or spin.
Yeah, I think my point with that, Bo, is that he has to figure out in that second whether he wants to continue with his progressions and trust those new guys that he's had a couple days to work with or those weapons that he's looking for deep or whether he should just take off with it. And that almost always works for him, so it's not a bad choice. But I do think when you lose 81% of your running game and the two injuries to Dobbins and Edwards, you've got this new people, and he might just say, I got to put all this on my back because he's not sure what those guys can give him yet. They just got there. And Tony, really quickly, I meant to mention this before, Carl Nassib that you mentioned, how amazing is it that we had our first active gay player in the NFL playing in a game, making big plays, and it wasn't that much of a story, which is what we always wanted to be, is just, yeah, come on, you make a play, you're ready to go, and then we'll welcome you in.
Tim Kalish, last word.
Lamar and Sammy Watkins need to develop some chemistry really, really fast to get something going so he's got something besides Mark Andrews to rely upon.
We've been horned. We'll move on. This Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home run, the launch angle is 15 degrees, which is the lowest home run of the season. It's also his 45th home run of the season, which is more than his father ever had in a season. And Guerrero is now first in the league in home runs and batting average and third in RBIs. So this is a legitimate triple crown bid that none of you guys have brought up over the last 3 months of the season. Clinton Yates, did Guerrero just take control of the MVP from Shohei Ohtani?
I don't think he took control of it, but I think that what we have now is a situation where generationally we're really discussing what's going on the field beyond just a numbers standpoint when it comes to handing out the MVP. Normally it was like, your guy gets that much, you just hand it to him immediately. But the precedent is different than people think. Of the 12 times that there's been a Triple Crown winner since the MVP was awarded, five guys have not lost it. The difference is every guy who's not won it of those five guys lost it to a guy who was going to win the division. The Angels aren't any good. People are voting for Ohtani, not just on numbers, but because they like him, which as a baseball fan, to me, is a good enough reason to give the guy an award. He's that good. He's on both sides of the ball, and he's just plain popular. His value is to the game overall, not just to his team, and that's really cool to see that he might take this thing anyway.
People like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as well, though, right, Clinton?
Sure.
Yes, they do. But Shohei Ohtani is a worldwide, completely different phenomenon that when you see him in front of other people, from kids in Little League to grown men in Denver and All-Star, I mean, it's just, this guy's a different story. It's almost like there should be an award for him above the MVP because of what he's done.
Bomani Jones, you seem a little bit perplexed from Mr. Yates here. Please, go ahead.
I just ain't never heard anybody get up and say, how cool will it be to give the MVP to somebody who might not actually deserve it? Now, here's the thing about the Triple Crown that I think is interesting. We've had people who have not won the MVP while winning the Triple Crown. If I'm not mistaken, two of those were Ted Williams when they were just trying not to give the MVP to Ted Williams. Last time we had somebody win a Triple Crown was Miguel Cabrera in a year where he probably did not deserve to win it, but it's a very old school thing, and it's hard to imagine the idea that you lead the league in those three categories and you're not the MVP. The other guy throws and hits at an excellent level. To me, it is still Ohtani. I think he is the deserving player to get it. But also, I have to acknowledge, man, they're running away with that division right now. 12 out of their last 13 games, Toronto has won. And when you typically have a guy perform that well using old school thought process, like a player is leading you to victory, that guy normally wins. When we get a little bit more new school on it and we get more clinical, I think you probably wind up going with Ohtani.
Okay, so that's two for Ohtani and a whole lot of words in between it all. Sarah Spain, you're seeing what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is doing, and this Triple Crown bid came out of nowhere.
First of all, let me start by saying I agree with both of them that it's Shohei Ohtani. I just don't like the words that got them there. For one, he's not getting it because people like him more. And for two, it's not new school thinking to give it to him compared to Vlad. I understand that there's that association with the Triple Crown and the MVP, but to Clinton's point, many of them have not won it before. In the case of Shohei Ohtani, you have something that is not only one of few, it is one of ever. You know, it's been since 1921, of course, since we've seen someone pitch and hit, but he's the first person to make the All-Star game as a pitcher and hitter. The first person to strike out at least 100 and have at least 9 home runs, which is way more than 9, by the way. The list goes on of the things that he's done that no one ever done before. You don't even need to like him. That's just a bonus. Statistically, he's already done everything to win this award. It's just cool that Vlad's making it more interesting.
And Tim Kalishaw.
Far be it from me to bring this next-gen stats panel into some old-school way of thinking, but if a guy wins a Triple Crown and his team is in the playoffs, and another guy does something incredible, spectacular, and his team is no factor, that no factor part should be a factor.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why the analytics people think, no, it doesn't matter if his team's 79 and 83 is the best player. We're not general managers trying to decide which free agent to decide. It's an award. When you give out an award to a salesman, it's the guy that closes all the deals, not the guy that has a great speech but can't sell because his territory sucks. So, for that reason,
wow,
I'm still torn. But I think right now, I'm leaning slightly to
start
Guerrero.
Going
but I want to see the rest of the season.
Always be closing, Kalishaw. Okay, Sarah, go back at Tim.
First of all, I can't believe he's not going backwards for that diatribe that ends with "I'm still torn" after acting like he was definitively.
Why? Because it was almost as long as one of yours.
Let's start talking about. So you want to take it away from Mike Trout? You want to resume? You know, all the you have those conversations about every single great player who just happened to not be on a great baseball team, which is the sport where it is the least effective to be able to, it's the most difficult to be able to make an entire team good as one player. Ernie Banks, there's so many players that you could name that were tremendous that earned the MVP just because their team wasn't great doesn't mean they don't get it. What sport is this? This isn't basketball.
Clinton?
At the MLB All-Star Game in the Home Run Derby, when Shohei went out in the first round, a situation in which everybody there was an All-Star, half the crowd left. The popularity is a factor. This dude is a big deal as far as the sport is concerned, not just in this country, but across the globe overall.
I mean, I'm leaning toward what the Dutch boy was over here saying. I just still can't believe that Clinton is just trying to make this a full-on popularity contest. This is going to be Tim Tebow for MVP of the NFL one day if we let Clinton be in charge.
Who is Tim Tebow? Who's that? Never heard
While
that.
You guys weren't talking about Guerrero,
I thought we were talking about
the Crown bid the last month or so. You weren't talking about the Blue Jays either. We score 10, 11, 22 every night and are the hottest team in baseball right now. We're taking a break. Tim Kalish is torn, but he's in the lead.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Bill Flasky wrote it, USC obeyed. A change in leadership is what they're
calling it Clay Helton relieved of duties. The rare week two firing and USC in search of a new football coach. A week two firing, Tim Kalisha?
I guess Bill Plaschke said it was over and USC took him seriously. That's what I don't get. I mean, you can say go get Luke Fickell from Cincinnati or whoever, but if you're going to fire a guy after one loss to Stanford, which, by the way, beats USC occasionally, this isn't the rarest thing in the world, why didn't you fire him? Why didn't you make this change back in the offseason?
Glenn Yates?
It's not a rare firing at all. The last three coaches have been fired midseason, two in September, one in October. That's the problem with USC, is that their board of directors is controlling their athletic department, and they can't figure out who's at the helm. Forget the football team. They got much bigger problems upstairs with that school, for sure.
Bomani Jones? Well, I think one of the biggest problems they got is money, and they owe a bit of money to a lot of people, which made it to where you want to bring Clay Helton back because you didn't need to add another creditor to your list. But it had to be done because they had reached a point where people didn't even care anymore about the fact that they were losing to Stanford. And no matter how occasionally it happens, USC should always be embarrassed to lose to Stanford rather than be indifferent.
Sarah Spain?
Well, for starters, they should have just gotten rid of him before the season began. The seat got hot in 2016. It got downright fiery in 2018. And he hasn't been able to recruit since then because players never know if he's going to stick around. So he loses this game. It becomes clear there's no way they could win it all. Not that anyone expected them to. But that was the only thing that really could have saved his position and his ability to recruit, as if they had literally won it all. So that's off the table. They decide just get rid of him, bring someone else in, and start that recruiting nice and early on a new era. I don't agree with it, but I don't agree with the fact that they kept him dragging along this long after people realized it wasn't his job for the keeping.
Anyone want to throw out some names and who's going to be? Bomani Jones? Anybody jump out of you for the next job here?
I mean, they're going to back up the truck and try to get Luke Fickell. I don't know if Luke Fickell's a guy to work at USC. I think he'd be a great hire at Ohio State. I don't know about him doing it at USC.
Nobody wants to throw out another name here?
I like the Mario Cristobal because he's already been out recruiting him in his own backyard. The question is whether he wants to leave his situation.
Any more urban names that nobody is putting up?
Okay. He's going to Jacksonville after one game.
That administration is not going to hire him.
Okay. We'll move on. Bears will not speed up the Justin Fields plan, Sarah Spain. Andy Dalton still the starter. Fox's Jay Glazer reporting Fields won't be the starter before week four. Bears coach Matt Nagy indicating they're where they're at. Quote, where we're at, end quote. Roll tape.
Where we're at.
That's what I told you. Sarah Spain, where is where? What's that?
That's the kind of genius that we expect out of him. We shouldn't be surprised at this point that he's not going to tell us anything, and once again, he's not. If we're going to be angry about anything, it's our aging, pathetic defense. It's the fact that he called it a learning experience when players on the Bears didn't know to touch a guy that was down and then he strolled into the end zone. There are so many things to be frustrated about. I am not frustrated about the way they're using the quarterback yet. They have made it clear, according to my sources, that they don't know that he's ready yet to take over an entire playbook and run this team behind a bad offensive line and with a defense that's struggling and probably isn't going to have them in a lot of games. So I'm okay with them having him learn and come in for those moments like he did in the first game. I think they're going to add to that going forward, but I don't need to rush him in there. This is a tough city, and you have one clunker of a game as Justin Fields, and people will be talking about it as if it's over and they blew it again. We don't need to do that.
All right, PTI is next. I guess we're out of time. Sarah Spain, save the rest for your 30 for 30. Bomani Jones, please.
I mean, Matt Nagy's the one that's coaching for his job. So I have to reasonably assume that if he does not think that Justin Fields is ready, he really doesn't think that Justin Fields is ready. So play it that way if that's what you want to do. The one thing I have to appreciate about this is what you very often see in these circumstances is bad offensive line, feed the mobile quarterback to him because he can save himself. Oh, no, Andy Dalton, you get to take those licks all for you.
Clinton Yates on Chicago's decision here to stay with Dalton for a bit longer.
Very loose definition of plan. In March, you signed Dalton. In April, you drafted Fields after moving up. And then in training camp, you said via a tweet that Dalton was the starter. And then you said, oh, well, Fields is going to get first team reps, but Dalton's still the starter. But then you waited until the end of preseason in order to say that he was officially the starter. What is the plan? Because now you've undercut yourself in terms of what people think is going to happen versus what actually has happened.
True,
there
Sarah?
Is no plan.
No. No, that's not true. They've said Andy Dalton was the starter since day one, and they've said it every single time they've been asked since.
Okay. So then why are we talking about this?
Tim Kalisha.
First they lost the left tackle. Then they lost the aging replacement at left tackle. Then they lost the rookie right tackle who moved to left tackle and hurt his ankle. Until they clean up the tackle positions, they're much better I hate to say it, letting Andy Dalton get beat up and take those hits than they are throwing Justin Fields out there.
Sarah, I need to talk about the San Francisco Giants. And
listen, man, I got a quarterback to talk about for once in my life. There's a debate. There's a conversation.
Which one?
Happening.
Which one? The starter or the other guy? You guys can have that conversation over there, wherever you go, now. Bomani Jones, Tim Kalish, on Showdown. 2 minutes.
The old rivalries are the best rivalries.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
The San Francisco Giants were the first team to 70 wins, 80 wins, 90 wins, and the first team to clinch. And you people never, ever talk about them. Careful what you say now, Tim Kalishaw, because if you call him the favorite, you risk bandwagoning and upsetting cosmic balance. But dare you call them the favorite?
As the only former Giant beat writer on this show, nobody gave them made them the favorite in 2010, 12, 14. They won all those. They're the favorites now. Give them their due.
Bomani Jones. Look, the question is what matters more, the number of games you win or the way you deal in run differential? And the Dodgers still have a more significant run differential, which implies that with more games coming down the line, you would think the Dodgers will wind up being the team to perform the best in the National League. I will still have them as favorites. Implies. I'm not worried about implication, Bomani Jones. And Kalishaw, if you were a Giants beat writer in your heyday, you at least would have given them some credit this whole summer, which you did not. We move on. Athletes playing dress up at the Met Gala. Rapinoe, Osaka, Westbrook, Curry, Gilgeous Alexander, Tucker, Felix, Biles, Serena, and then athlete adjacent, Ciara. Bomani, who won the night?
I mean, I think the biggest winners were Gilgeous Alexander and P.J. Tucker, because I wondered how they managed to get in there. I bet they were the two dudes there the whole night that had to answer the question more times, so what do you do? But go ahead and ask that dude in that shirt what he thinks about what other people wore. I'm curious to hear what his opinions
are. P.J. Tucker can't be the winner. P.J. Tucker just stood in the corner all night waiting for stuff to come to him. Steph Curry won the night. Steph Curry wins every night. Doesn't matter what he's wearing. Doesn't matter if he's on the golf tee. Doesn't matter if he's shooting for 35 feet. Steph is the man.
Whoever sold you that shirt has a great sense of humor, Tim Kalishaw. FaceTime, Bomani Jones, another win in Showdown over Kyle.
Oh, back where we belong. Hey, speaking of where we belong, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers won in week one. They are playing the Atlanta Falcons in week two. He decided to troll the folks by doing a video message that had 3:28 in the background, like 3-28, like the comeback the Patriots had against the Falcons in the Super Bowl that one time. And if you're a Falcons fan and you have a problem with this, I just want to let you know. It's your own fault for doing this to yourself. Get off the narcotic. Did you see what happened to you in week one? You got a whole year of that, which will feel a whole lot like the rest of your lives. Do like I did. Just let them go, man. They haven't done that much good for you in the first place. Troll them all the time, Tom Brady. They deserve it. That's just how they want to feel.
Well, this is interesting you bring this up, Bomani Jones. With that win, can we put the stat back on the screen? Career win percentage? 28.3%. For the Atlanta fans, Bomani Jones.
It's a gala.